My name is Debbie Keller, and my company is Home and Office Transitions. I provide move management services for individuals and companies. We were looking for a company with high quality service, integrity, and one that was committed to the same high standards of customer service that we were. And we found all of those in Ewing Moving and Storage.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to my father's teaching. My name is Terrence Burton. Before we get into the word for today, let us pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, I give you glory, honor, and praise. I celebrate you for being my God and my King. I thank you for your goodness that you have poured out for us. Thank you, Father, for the privilege that we have to approach your throne. I give you glory, honor, and praise, and thank you, Father, that this word will reach the hearts and minds of your people and minister to us right where we are. You be glorified today. In Jesus' name, amen. We have been talking about, over the past several weeks, confidence, the confident heart. But what we're going to talk about now is we're still dealing with confidence, but as a subtitle, as part of this teaching, is we're going to talk about, but we're going to look at a picture of confidence. Now, we're going to start with our primary focus scripture coming from 1 John chapter 5, verses 14 and 15. And it says, "And this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us." Verse 15, "And if we know that he hear us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desire of him." Again, that's 1 John chapter 5, verses 14 and 15. And so, again, we're talking about confidence, or we're talking about what is, we're going to look at a picture of confidence. Well, that picture we're going to look at is found in Mark chapter 11, verses 12 through 24. Again, that's Mark chapter 11, verses 12 through 24. And it reads, "And on the morrow, when they were come from Bethany, he was hungry. And seeing a fig tree afar off having leaves, he came, if haply he might find anything thereon. And when he came to it, he found nothing but leaves. But the time of figs was not yet. And Jesus answered and said unto it, No man eat fruit of thee hereafter forever. And his disciples heard it. And they come to Jerusalem, and Jesus went into the temple and began to cast out them that sold and bought in the temple, and overthrew the tables of the money changers and the seats of them that sold doves, and would not suffer that any man should carry any vessel through the temple. And he taught, saying unto them, Is it not written, My house should be called of all nations the house of prayer? But ye have made it a den of thieves. And the scribes and chief priests heard it and sought how they might destroy him. For they feared him, because all the people were astonished at his doctrine. And when even was come, he went out of the city." Verse 20, And in the morning, as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. And Peter, calling to remembrance, saith unto him, Master, behold, the fig tree which thou cursest is withered away. And Jesus answering said unto them, Have faith in God. For verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, Be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Verse 24 says, Therefore I say unto you, What things soever ye desire, when ye pray, believe that ye receive them, and you shall have them. And this is our picture of confidence. Confidence can be seen and confidence can be heard. Confidence begins in your heart, but it shows up in your words and in your actions. Now, out of this passage that I just read, and you too, as if you followed along, I want to extract three different points. Point number one, confidence can be seen in how you speak. Point number two, confidence can be seen in your behavior. Point number three, confidence can be seen in your results. So let's start with that first point, that confidence is seen in how you speak. Notice in Mark 11, 14, Jesus answered and said unto it, so he spoke to the tree and told the tree, no man eat fruit of thee hereafter forever. And he said this in the face of his disciples. Well, why would I point out that he made this statement and he made it in the face of his disciples? Jesus was not afraid that what would happen if this doesn't, if what would happen or how would I look if I say this and nothing happens? Jesus didn't think about that because as far as he was concerned, if he said it, it's going to happen. And so he made a decision that no one was going to eat from this tree ever again. So what Jesus did was he simply spoke his desired result with the full expectation that what he said would happen, would indeed happen. So there was nothing for him to be afraid of. There was no backlash that he was afraid would happen because people would make fun of him if this doesn't happen. Because Jesus never thought of the possibility of him saying something and it not coming to pass. Because here's the thing, when Jesus spoke a word, the decision was already made. This is happening. He believed the words that were coming out of his mouth. And so he was very decisive. So here's a question you need to ask yourself. Are you spending your words talking about what you will to happen or what you don't want? Think about this. A lot of times what people do is they're spending their speech, and you need to think of your words as your money. That they are spending their speech, spending their words on what they don't want. I don't want to be sick. I don't want to die. I don't want to lose my job. I don't want this to happen to my kids. They're spending their thinking and they're spending their words on what they don't want, not understanding that their words actually behave as a form of currency. So with that being said, what is more appropriate is for you to speak what you do desire. For example, just sticking with this currency perspective, if I go to the grocery store, I don't go in and tell them because I don't eat certain kinds of food, well, I don't want any bologna, I don't want any trail mix, I don't go in telling them what I don't want. It's my responsibility to select what I do want. And then when I get to the either self-checkout or I get to where the cashier is, I just scan and I pay for what I want. I hope you heard that. I don't have to pay attention to what it is that I don't want. I leave what I want in the store. But I will get what I pay for with my mouth. And see, that's one of those things that we really need to understand. If you just really think about the principle, it makes sense. Just like you go to the grocery store, you don't throw things in your basket that you don't want. Then you also shouldn't be putting things in the basket of your heart that you don't want. Because that's what you're going to typically be scanning, so to speak, and paying for. And then you wonder, how did this happen? You put it in your basket. You were at this giant grocery store of a world that the Father has placed you in where you can pick all these things. Yes. And see, the thing is, watch this. This is very important for you to understand. God does not allow only things in this world that you like or that you want or that are good for you. Just like that grocery store does not only have things in it that are healthy. I said, well, why would God put something in there that I wouldn't like? In this vast universe, think about it from this perspective. If you did not have the option to pick something that wasn't best for you, you're not free. And we were made to be free. There's a responsibility that we have to select what we put in our heart, to select. One of the greatest lessons that I learned, and I think back to something that my mother shared with me years ago, and she's talked to my brother and I a number of times about this, that before I was here, and she only had the one child, which is my older brother, and my mom was staying with my grandmother at the time, and my grandmother came in from work, and she saw that all of her stuff in the living room had been moved behind the sofa. And so she asked my mom, "Why you move this stuff?" And she said, "So the baby won't get to it." She said, "No, you don't move my stuff. You train your child." Well, what are you getting at here? My grandmother gave my mom phenomenal wisdom when she said that. "You know, you train your child not to touch my stuff. You don't move my stuff." See, people operate in this world thinking that God needs to move the stuff out of the way that they shouldn't touch. Well, how does a person learn self-control unless they have the ability to choose something or to touch something or to do something that they shouldn't do? One of the fruit of the Spirit is self-control. And what does self-control mean? Self-control means you don't have to move this out of my ability to touch it. I can be in proximity and still not mess with it. But a lot of people have the mindset that things ought to disappear out of the world that would challenge them or that may hurt them. No, no, no. You learn self-control. You learn how to govern your life. So away with the idea that God should just clear the world, clear the universe of things that might hurt you. How do you use your mind? How do you use your thoughts and your mind to make proper decisions if God set the stage where all there were right decisions? No. God made you free. So that's why he left the stuff and didn't put it behind the sofa, so to speak. I hope you grasp the wisdom in that. I really hope you do. So anyway, moving right along with what we're talking about here. So, thank you, Holy Spirit. So we have to choose our words. We have to use our words to choose the things that we want, because life doesn't just happen automatically for us. Another thing to look at under this particular thing, as far as with confidence, is seen in how we speak. Jesus spoke with the full confidence that what he said was going to come to pass. Why? Jesus understood that heaven was supporting his words because he was committed to heaven's words. And see, that's one of the things that you have to understand if you are a believer. If you have a mindset, if you understand that I'm yielded to heaven, and that's how you govern your life, then it aids you in walking in confidence with God, because you begin to understand when you read through the scriptures that heaven is backing you. And that's one of the things I want you to really understand, that if you have locked your teeth in, so to speak, if you are locked in on doing the word and the will of God, God is supporting you. Heaven is backing you. So if you understand heaven is backing you, then yeah, you'll speak with confidence, because you understand you're being backed by the most powerful force in the universe. You've been backed by God and all of heaven. So do your words communicate confidence, or do your words communicate doubt? Do you say things like, "I can't do such and such. This is getting the best of me. I'm sick of this"? We need to evaluate our words, because our words are what actually launch our confidence or the lack thereof. Your confidence can be seen in how you speak. Number two, your confidence can be seen in your behavior. One of the things I want to point out about this, because and I think sometimes it can seem so subtle that it may seem like it doesn't matter. But notice that Jesus made his declaration and went on his way. That's going back to verse 14. It says, "And Jesus answered and said unto it, No man eat fruit of thee hereafter forever. And his disciples heard it." Then in verse 15, it says, "And they come to Jerusalem and went into the temple." So Jesus, this is so powerful to me. So once Jesus made his declaration, he didn't spend his life on it. He didn't stop doing what God told him to do because he was waiting to see what would happen with his words. See, Jesus had such great confidence in what he decreed that he spoke it and went on with his life. See, what happens a lot of times in Christendom is that people spend their lives confessing and then watching to see what will happen. And in the meantime, they haven't gotten anything that God told them to do done because they're busy watching to see what will happen and thinking, if I say it one more time, and they're spending their days trying to get this confession to come to pass. But part of what makes your confession come to pass is when you are so secure in what you have decreed, knowing that God is backing you, that you can decree a thing and then go on with your life. In other words, you do not allow that problem that's in front of you to hold you captive. You decree the thing and you move on with your life, continuing on in the assignments, the tasks that you have to get done. I got to get more done than stand here and speak to this tree. And that was the attitude that Jesus had. Jesus spoke to the tree and went on about his business. Again, your confidence can be seen in your behavior. Now, something else too that I found interesting with this that would come under that particular point. Jesus walked away from the fruitless. Confidence is not afraid to walk away from things that should be feeding you that are not. You must require that the things in your life feed you. Your relationships should feed you. Your job should feed you. The Bible says that God gives us all things richly to enjoy. There is an expectation that you should have of everything that's a part of your life. Everything in your life ought to be benefiting you. It ought to be benefiting you. It ought to be serving you. It ought to be feeding you. And so Jesus was not only not afraid to decree over that tree his expectation, but he was also not afraid to walk away from a fruitless tree. And there are some of you out there who are involved in relationships and things and in jobs that are fruitless. They're not feeding you, but you're still there hoping that it will develop fruit. Not understanding that you're dealing with something that's cursed. You're dealing with something that's just really designed to waste your time. But Jesus said, I'm walking away from, I've made my decree. I'm walking away from this tree. It's not producing for me. It's not feeding me. So I'm leaving it. Yeah, I know that's a little rough, but hey, it's all right. Third point, confidence can be seen in your results. Confidence can be seen in your results. Notice what Jesus says here in Mark 11, 20 and 21. It says, and in the morning, as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots, and Peter called into remembrance, saith unto him, Master, behold, the fig tree which thou cursed is withered away. So here, they've come back through the same area. And when Peter sees the tree, it reminds him, wait a minute, this is the tree that the Lord spoke to yesterday and said, nobody eat from you ever again. Now here it is. The whole thing is just dried up. It's dried up. It's not going to feed anybody. So confidence can be seen in your results. So Jesus spoke a word in confidence. And when I say confidence, I'm not talking about how we say in confidence where somebody kind of was whispering something and you said something between you and this person. No, I'm talking about with a heart of confidence where he had full expectation that what he said would come to pass. Jesus spoke to this tree, and not only did he decree what he wanted to happen to that tree, the tree obeyed his words. Why? Because though that tree knows the difference between confident words as opposed to words with no confidence. Jesus didn't depend on luck or chance, but he operated on his knowledge of spiritual law. Jesus knew that tree was going to dry up, and we can see the results of his confidence. Not only was Jesus did Jesus speak those words and they came to pass, but Jesus was able to articulate how it happened. But not only that, Jesus explained to the disciples that if you walk, you can do the same thing. But what it depends on is you having similar confidence. That's why he said, have faith in God. Well, what is faith? Faith, one of the definitions of faith is confidence. So Jesus said, have the faith of God, or have a God kind of confidence. Be confident that what you say comes to pass. Be confident that when you decree a thing, that's settled. So I go on with my life. Why? Because I'm confident that my word, like my Father's words, that my word would not return unto me void, having not accomplished what it was sent for to do, but my word will also prosper in the thing whereto it has been sent. That's what confidence in God looks like, where you mirror your Father, where you talk like God talks about a thing. And so just to recap before we close, confidence can be seen in how you speak. Confidence can be seen in your behavior. Confidence is seen in the results that they produce. It is your responsibility to allow the confidence that begins in your heart to also be revealed in your speech, in your behavior, and in your results. Until next time, God bless you. Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we give you glory. We appreciate you. We thank you, Father, for your words that you have communicated to us. We thank you for your wisdom that you have imparted. And we give you glory. We thank you, Father, that your word has burned in our hearts and minds so that we can receive and we walk in it. All to your glory, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Produced by Caleb Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.